Jeff Beal is often one of the first people to be heard from when you're watching the Netflix political drama House of Cards or the film Pollock, the biography of the abstract painter Jackson Pollock, a composer of TV themes and movie scores. Beal has been nominated 19 times for Primetime Emmys and won 5 times. He's also released 7 solo CDs. His music will be celebrated 7:30 Friday at Kodak Hall at Eastman Theater, with Leonard Slatkin conducting. This must be a really crazy thing for you, to see your music on stage and just sitting there thinking, I made it.
Yeah, I have nothing to do. I mean, I've done a lot of conducting recently of my own music, but it's really a special treat to have somebody like Leonard doing your stuff. And the program itself is varied, so I think the fact that we're doing some of my film music and also one of my concert pieces on the same program, for me, will be really, really enjoyable to sort of hear it done so well by this Eastman Philharmonia, which is just a world-class orchestra, and also to share it with the audience.
The Paper-Lined Shack, is that one of the pieces?
Yes.
What is it?
Well, this is there's a connection to Leonard with this piece. This piece was commissioned by the St. Louis Symphony last year to honor Leonard's 50th year anniversary in association with the St. Louis Symphony. It's a song cycle for soprano and orchestra. It's going to be sung by a Grammy winner, Hila Plitman, who is just incredible. The libretto, the text for this piece, is actually something that my wife and I found in a box, basically, about over 10 years ago. And it was basically a hand-typed diary that my great-grandmother had left that had been given to me by my mother, and we read these pages of her story, and we thought, boy, this is really incredible. This man, was it an opera? I don't know what it is. And sort of put it in a box and forgot about it for a while, and when I started thinking about this commission, I wanted a really interesting, strong female character to drive the narrative, and so my great-grandmother's story just seemed like the perfect vehicle. She was one of these pioneer women. You know, she moved to Idaho with her husband, then it had five children on a farm in the middle of nowhere, starting her life. And in the first year in Idaho, her husband died unexpectedly, so she was left with 6 kids. So this idea of a single mother, her story, her journey, and also the idea of resiliency, and also just the way she wrote about her experiences, were some of them was just so poetic and so beautiful. You know, I just felt like she didn't know she was writing she was just writing a set of memories for her children, but I thought it was so earnest and so sincere and so authentic that it made a really great chance to take this story and turn it into something.
Did you know her?
Yeah, I did meet her. Yeah, she lived quite old. I was a very young boy, and I remember her sitting in this chair in the corner, and I always had a big smile on her face. She was a very funny gal and kind of spunky, you know. And obviously a lot of strength and character to do what she did in life, you know. And it's been really fun sort of rediscovering her through really spending time with her words. And some of my most favorite parts of the recollections are things in her life that related to her childhood. You know, she actually grew up in a family of 6 children, and she was the only girl in the family. So this idea of, you know, it's her childhood, what it was like growing up and falling in love, and just the way that she sort of discovered who she was and what her story was really fascinating to me.
So what kind of music springs into your head when you're reading this woman's story and you're thinking, okay, this calls for what?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, it relates to my film music in a sense, because I love storytelling. And so for me, this was like a little mini movie. In fact, the way Hila performs, it's so beautiful. She really kind of, it's almost like a little mini one-act opera. But there's definitely a lot of what I would call Americana in the music. I love Samuel Barber and Aaron Copland. Those type of sounds really I love. And there's also a sense of rhythm and energy in the music, which I feel relates to her personality. There's a special character, I think, to this side of my family, which I always loved. It was this sort of almost, you know, hardship for her seemed like not so much as suffering, but something that she was really proud of. You know, she would talk about these things they did, and it's like, you know, look at what we did. You know, we lived in this little house, and we didn't have any heat, and, you know, just the lack of self-pity in her personality, I really loved. I felt that was a really beautiful way of sort of dealing with her life and seeing the world, really. There was a sense of optimism, which she had, and I think a lot of people in that sort of generation had, this sort of pioneers who came out west and sort of, you know, those stories are so rich.
Is Battleground also a part of this program?
Yes, it is.
Now, would this be a completely different animal?
Oh, boy. This is a study in contrast. So the second half is actually going to be live to picture with the Eastman Philharmonia. This is a one-hour movie based on a Stephen King short story that I scored for TNT. This is about maybe 10 years ago. It's really unique movie. It's basically a modern-day silent movie. William Hurt stars, but there's no lines of dialogue. I don't want to give the story away, but it's a great sort of mini. It's a Stephen King short story. It's a suspenseful, action, very visual story, full of really amazing visual effects and great direction. It was directed by Brian Henson, Jim Henson's son. And it really asks a lot of the orchestra, you know, because it's very related to some of the work I've done in silent movies, which I really love as well. But, you know, the absence of dialogue affords you a lot of bandwidth as a composer, obviously.
Yeah, no dialogue in a way, but there is a thermonuclear explosion.
Yes, there is.
Mm-hmm. How do you present that?
Well, let's just say it's one of the most climactic and loud points of the piece. There's a way in which this whole story is almost like this rubber band that you're trying to stretch as tight as you can and sort of continually ratchet up the tension. On another level, when you see the film and you see the visual language of the film, which is basically a set of toy soldiers coming to life and attacking William Hurt over the course of an hour, which is just absolutely great. But it's also very hysterical, obviously. It's so absurd. So there's a way in which that the music is not trying to play to the humor as much as play to the real horror, and which I think makes it very ironic and at times funny and absurd. But also it's like all great Stephen King stories. It's a little bit of a parable about life and karma, I guess, would be the lesson in this particular story.
Yeah, little Green Army men, generally they die by melting.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Is that what happens here?
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
Yeah. So be forewarned. Yeah, but okay. It's kind of fun because, you know, we just had Halloween last week. So yeah. So for the second half, you know, you could kind of have one more last hurrah of a really good scary movie.
When you compose, you play most of the instruments yourself?
Well, I do. I play a lot of instruments on my scores. So.
Yeah.
I play trumpet, I play piano. I enjoy being a music maker. I think it comes from my background as a jazz musician.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love that aspect of sort of performing music as I compose it or after I compose it. I have a documentary out now called The Biggest Little Farm, which was a beautiful film. We actually did that live to picture here in Rochester, and mm-hmm. I'm going to do it live to picture at the Wiltern Theater next month in Los Angeles. And for that one, you know, I played some harmonica, I played piano. I also had a banjo in my studio, which I don't really play, but I took a violin bow and I bowed it. And it's just a great, scary sound. It's kind of, it feels sort of rural and sort of appropriate, but it's also great when you're trying to scare people and make something a little scary.
Yes, the deliverance angle.
There you go.
And you do all of this in your living room?
I do. I have. Well, you can call it a living room. I have a home studio that's basically the house. The studio, a big portion of the house has been taken over into a recording studio, and it's really become a fun place to work. I've recorded all my House of Cards scores there, and a lot of my movie scores, and I can fit up to about 25 people at a time. So,
and nobody's knocking over lamps or anything.
No, it's you know, it's set up as a recording studio. So,
okay, you and your wife Joan put together. The Beale Institute for Film, Music, and Contemporary Media. Is this a good way to get this kind of music to the ears of younger audiences?
I think so. I mean, part of the it was so excited to get back involved with our alma mater here and start this film music program. In fact, in addition to the concert on Friday, I'm doing private lessons with all of our, now we have 12 majors in this graduate program. And film music is really, it's becoming such a big part of our popular culture, the celebration of film music in the concert hall is really a trend, I think, that is exciting people about concerts. It's bringing a different audience to the concerts. And it's also giving people that see a concert realizing that this isn't just a sort of antiquated museum piece, that this music that we love and that we play in such a high level, like at East schools like Eastman, this is actually a living, breathing part of our culture.
Mm-hmm. All right, Jeff Buell will be sitting back and relaxing Friday night at Kodak Hall at Eastman Theater while Leonard Slatkin does all the work.
Exactly.
Okay. Jeff Spivak.